Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
Again, very excited this morning to begin our series, Prayer. And I know that over the next 3 weeks, we're going to grow in not only how we communicate to God, but opening our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to hear what He's communicating to us. Today is a treat. We're going to be hearing from one of our members, Tom Simmons, and along with his wife, Heather. They are a vital and just anointed part of our prayer team ministry. At the end of each service, you get a chance to pray with them and several other of our prayer team members. And Tom has just a gift on his life and in his life. He's an anointed communicator of God's word and has some real, I personally believe, tremendous insight and revelation into how the kingdom of God works and how we can grow in our relationship with God. So, without further ado, will you do me a favor in welcoming Tom Simmons to the stage today? Come on.
Praise the Lord. It's always exciting to be in God's house, amen? And prayer is one of those things that's always exciting to talk about. You know, it's one of those things that is very important in our lives as believers, and God's Word has a lot to say about prayer. I mean, in the NIV version, over 100 scriptures reference prayer. Excuse me, my morning frog is visiting, so we're going to get our frog gig out and gig that frog this morning, but 100 scriptures on prayer. And so that means that it's important to us. And, you know, I want to start off with a definition of prayer. And I kind of looked in Webster and a couple other places, and I saw bits and pieces. I said, you know what, I'm going to come up with my own definition for today. So my definition of prayer today is two-way communication with God, spoken and through thought. Two-way communication with God. Because our emphasis today is going to be prayer. It's personal. And the point is that God actually wants to speak to us. So that's going to be our focus in the Word today. So I actually want to pray before we preach on prayer. And ask God just to help us this morning. Father, we love You today, Lord. And we invite You into our presence. Father, we come against every tool of the enemy that would try and hinder us from receiving Your word today. Father, I pray that You would grant us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of You, Lord Jesus, that we could just receive Your word and gain insight into relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. So, two-way communication with God is how I define prayer. It's very important. Scripture tells us that God wants us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Or some versions say, pray continually. So, you know, it's one of those things where prayer is not just something we want to do all the time, but it's a lifestyle of prayer that God tells us that we should have. And then He also says things in like Luke 18, when He was telling the disciples a parable, it said this, that then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So Jesus taught, I won't go over the whole parable, but He was teaching them this point. You should always pray and to never give up. So He's telling them that because, you know, sometimes we can be discouraged in our prayer life and have a tendency to feel like, hey, I just want to give up. So He's saying, hey, I want to teach you something. So you can read that parable on your own. But the point is, sometimes prayer does not feel very natural to us. Sometimes it can be a challenge. There's seasons of life where it seems easier than others. And so the first thing we want to talk about today is some of the obstacles to prayer. Because a lot of it has to do how we view prayer or how we view God and our relationship with Him. One obstacle could be that we view God, that He is a reluctant God to get involved in our small issues And that sometimes we don't want to pray about small things. We don't want to bother God with the small things that we're concerned about in our lives. You know, I had an experience. I'd only been serving the Lord around 2 years. I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed in Germany. And I was a cop, a security policeman. And I carried a M16 every day to work. And I had a web belt that I carried my ammunition on, my handcuffs, and all these things. And they had these pouches. And I wanted another pouch because I had some other stuff I wanted to carry on my web belt rather than in my pocket. And they were hard to come by. The supply office never had any. And then one day a guy gave me one. But the only problem is there was no clip. And again, those were hard to come by too. I didn't have a way to fasten it to my belt. And so a couple of days later, I'm standing in my guard shack at the entry control point to the restricted area. And I'm walking around, and I'm just kind of out enjoying the sun day. And something glistens in the corner of my eye, and I look, and on the ground is one of those clips. You know, and I'm like, it really spoke to me. It may seem simple, but I hadn't prayed about it. It's one of those things with just a desire of my heart. And for me, it said, you know what? God cares about something so insignificant and so small. It was a desire of my heart, and it really blessed me. Let me know that, you know what, nothing's too small for God to care about, you know. So God does care about things that we feel sometimes are insignificant. Sometimes we think that God won't move on our behalf unless we use the right formulas when we pray, or he won't move if we don't pray with saying the right words when we pray. You know, I don't believe that you could pass away and get to heaven, and Jesus is going to say, you know, I was going to heal you, but you kept leaving that one word out, you know. You were so close to healing if you just said it right. I don't believe that's the heart of the Father. But Scripture actually shows that God is not a reluctant God, but he's actually a very eager God to answer our prayer. Isaiah 65:24, the Lord is speaking to Isaiah the prophet, and he says this. He says, before they call, I will answer them. And while they are still speaking, I will hear them. So you can have confidence that God knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows every struggle, every desire. And you know what? He's eager to answer our prayers. And so before I can speak it, he's already ready to answer. Amen? So that is one obstacle that we can move aside today. Sometimes we can be discouraged. There's another obstacle. This is a big one. Because sometimes we're discouraged when things don't seem to change. You know, we pray, we fast, we pray. Sometimes things get worse after we pray. And we say, you know, and after a time, long enough season, we get discouraged. We can be full of faith in the beginning, but a year later, we may not be so full of faith. So sometimes it's discouraging, but sometimes it's because we're just not understanding God's timing and purposes in our lives. And this, I'll show you an example in Exodus, the third chapter. And this is a big picture. God is dealing with the purposes of a nation. So this is when God is getting ready to send Moses in to deliver his people from Egypt. And it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So God says, I hear them, and I am concerned about what I hear. I know they're suffering. And he told Moses, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now, here's the thing. 400 years had passed since they were in Egypt in slavery in most of that time. So God had a purpose, and that was building a nation. A family went into Egypt, but a family was not able to go in and possess the promised land. It took a nation. And so for 400 years, the purposes of God were playing out. And I'm sure many people thought God is abandoning us. God is, but the big picture in this one was that God was building a nation. And so his timing was everything. Habakkuk, the second chapter, and this is a verse probably many of you are familiar with, but it really speaks to me because sometimes God has a timing and we're waiting for that timing to be fulfilled. In Habakkuk 2:3, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. And I'm reading from the King James because it just sounds better. I like it. So, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so you have something you're praying about, a situation, or maybe God's giving you a dream or a vision, and you're praying, and it just doesn't seem to come to pass. And sometimes it's actually years before that thing will come to pass. But the Lord is saying there's appointed time for the fulfillment of that thing. So, you know, don't be discouraged, because I always look at it like this. Okay, if God has an appointed time, that means there's an appointed year, there's an appointed month, there's an appointed day, and there's an appointed hour when he says, and suddenly things change. And that's what, I mean, all through Scripture, you read that phrase, and suddenly, and that's the way it happens. It seems like nothing is happening, and you can go on, and then suddenly things change. And so the appointed time sometimes is what we're waiting for. And I can tell you this, God is always working behind the scenes to bring about his will to pass. Amen? And he is always using delays to develop our character in the meantime. You know, it's like Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He had a vision. And I always say, Joseph had some preparation. He went from the pit, the Potiphar's, to prison, to the palace. You know, and every step along the way was preparation and training. But because Joseph stepped into a position of leadership in the government, but in Potiphar's house, he was in training and leadership. He went to prison. What happened? Joseph rose to the top. He was running basically the whole prison, preparation. But at the appointed time, he was released from prison. And then, you know, the rest of the story, he ended up in a great place of authority. But those delays and hard times sometimes are for our good. Our character is always being developed. So I remember one time I had received a couple of prophetic words, people praying for me, and God's going to bless you, and there's going to be prosperity come to you and all this stuff. And I'm super excited. And then a few weeks later, somebody else comes along, and they pray over me, and I get a prophetic word. God's getting ready to bless you with prosperity in his time. But right now, your priorities are not his priorities, so it's going to be a delay. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. I'm like, yeah, I thought I was okay. I felt good, you know. But obviously, the Lord knows my heart, and he knew there were some things that need to be worked out in my life, and that's character, and that's priorities, and that's development. So sometimes when we're praying, there's still work to be done in our lives, and sometimes in the lives of others, for things to line up for God to accomplish his will in our lives. Amen? Amen. So, I had to get my priorities straight. Sometimes I didn't even know where they were off. I had to seek God and lay before God and say, Lord, just change me wherever I need it. Because sometimes I couldn't see it till he revealed it. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, consider it joy, my brethren and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So delays can have a benefit to us in our spiritual growth. And I know more than anything, the Lord wants us to be conformed into his image. Amen. Amen. Sometimes there's delays because of spiritual warfare. Daniel is an example. Daniel had received a vision. He's fasting and praying in chapter 10 and verse 12 through 14. He's waiting for an answer. He's been fasting, and it's been 21 days. He still has no answer. And the scripture says this. Then an angel appears to Daniel, and the angel's speaking to Daniel. And it says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, now this is a demonic principality who has authority over a region, okay? But the prince of Persia resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, or he's an archangel, he came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So there was a delay in this situation because God was sending the answer, but there was this warfare taking place, and the answer was delayed. But then we always win. The victory was eventually won and the answer got through. So sometimes you have to be discerning about what's going on in all these situations. But the last thing I want to talk about, the last obstacle, is what I feel is the biggest obstacle, or can be, is that prayer is one of those things that sometimes is a challenge to us because we don't really understand God's heart towards us. And it's about relationship. Remember how I define prayer as a two-way communication? And God does want to speak to us. And sometimes all those obstacles, the formulas and the different things, we can get into religious formats. Hey, I got to pray a certain way. I got to pray a certain, you know, there's always those books that tell you the steps in the 60 steps in the 60 minutes and all these things that, all these formulas, and you don't know what to do, how to pray. But God really wants us to know that his desire is to have an intimate relationship with us, and it's really not that hard, okay? Let's look in Scripture, and you're going to see something about the heart of God. It's that God, like Pastor Paul was praying, that the love of God, as Scripture says, is beyond comprehension. And I'm just praying that God will continue to reveal to us how much he loves us and how much he desires to be in fellowship and relationship with us. And we can see it all through Scripture. And starting in the book of Genesis, back in the Garden of Eden, in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees." And, of course, this is after they had sinned, and they were aware that they were naked. They had sown the leaves to hide themselves. And now, here comes God, and they hide themselves. And a couple things step out. One is that God was in relationship with them. It was up close and personal. It's face to face, you know. And the fact that they recognized the sound that was coming told me this wasn't the first time this happened. This was something they were familiar with, fellowship with God. And I don't know what that noise was or what that sound was like, but they knew it. Hey, here comes God. And by implication, they had face-to-face relationship with the Lord. God designed that. That was his desire, okay? And, of course, eventually that ended as they sinned. Fast forward to the place where the Jews are coming out of Egypt. Moses, again, is leading the children of Israel out through the wilderness. God takes him to the mountaintop and gives him a lot of instruction. And one of them is that God says, "I want you to build a tabernacle, this tent. And it's going to be after the pattern of the tabernacle that's in heaven." And he gives him, if you read the account, it's amazing the explicit detail that God goes through and every bit of the construction, every piece of furniture, every tool to be used, where it's to be placed in the curtain to be hung in the holiest of holy places. Everything was detailed. And then there's a purpose for this. This is a place that they were to worship him and a place that he was going to meet with the people of Israel. So in Exodus 40, verse 33, we get to the end where Moses is completing the tabernacle. It says, "Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and put up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work." So he completed the construction of the tabernacle. And then an interesting thing happened. "Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So what happened was God had lost that face-to-face interaction with man, but now he had this tabernacle constructed. When it's complete, the christening, if you will, was the glory of the Lord. The presence of God entered that place, and he again was in the place where he was living amongst his people. Amen. And you read through scriptures, you'll see that God, so again, demonstrates God has this desire. He's still trying to get back into a relationship with man. And then once Israel has a nation, Solomon is king now. And Solomon, King David, couldn't build a temple because God told him, "I want your son to build it." So Solomon is getting ready to build the temple. He builds the temple, and as he's building it, the Lord is telling him something. God's speaking to Solomon, and he says, "As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees and observe my laws and you keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave David, your father. And then he says this very interesting thing. And I will live among the Israelites and will not abandon my people Israel. So again, the Lord is saying, demonstrating he wants this personal relationship with us. You know, he says, I will live among my people Israel. And so God is not a God who wants to stay afar off. And that's kind of the way I grew up, my image of God, because I grew up in a religious environment. My concept of God was way off somewhere distant, up in the right corner of heaven. I don't know why the right corner, but it wasn't the left corner. It was always the right corner. And it was just this distance between me and God that just seemed to be there. And it was just because I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend that he's a God who loved me and wants to be intimate in relationship with me. And so, you know, when I really got on fire for God, I realized, you know what, I've been in religion all my life. And my eyes were open that religion is not a good thing. But what God wants is relationship. So it's been the pursuit of 30 plus years now of seeking relationship with God. And just in the last 4 or 5 years, really, I'm getting more revelation and understanding the heart of God. And I'm seeing the heart of God is, you know what? He's not an angry God. He's a God who loves us so much that he's constantly pursuing us. And obviously his love is demonstrated ultimately in Christ coming for us. So the temple, God said, I will live among my people. And then we transition to the New Testament. And then things really get exciting. Because the New Testament starts like this. And God's the same. He's not changed, right? He still has the same heart to have personal, deep relationship with us. The New Testament begins with this. And the Gospel of John says this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here again, God dwelling among us. Amen. His name was Emmanuel, right? And so it's interesting, too, when that word dwell in the Greek means tabernacle. Interesting. God wants to tabernacle still with his people. See, under the new covenant, everything was about to change. Jesus was teaching his disciples, trying to prepare them, because we've been living under the law where God has been with you, but there's a change coming, and it's going to be a new covenant, a new relationship with God. So in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, there's some verses where Jesus is teaching them, and reading at verse 16, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be, what? In you. Ooh, now we're getting up close and personal. Because in the law, he lived with them, lived among them. But now there's a change coming. Well, he's going to live in you. In verse 23, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. Selah. Think about that for a moment. Now, Jesus says, my Father and I will come and make our home with them. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, there's a change again. In the Old Testament, there was a physical temple. There was a tabernacle. Solomon built a temple. But now there's, again, a change. It says this. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? So no longer do we have a temple built of stone and a brick or of some tent. Now we, our physical bodies, are the temples, the new temples in the New Testament. Amen? So it says, do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Again, Jesus had told him, we're going to be in you. And he says, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you receive from God, you are not your own. What? You're not, we need to preach on that one for a minute. We are not your own. I don't want to get sidetracked because that's a whole thing. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So here, there's a new testament, a new covenant. There's a new relationship. No longer is God up in the far right corner, only accessible to the high priest. Back then, the high priest was the only person who had that, but God dwelt among his people still in that tabernacle. So now, new covenant, new relationship, we are now the temples. Christ, when we're saved, now dwells in us. And I think sometimes we lose that. I do. I forget. I mean, you know, God lives in me. Think about that. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's part, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is who dwells in us. It's powerful. And sometimes I just, because you go about your day and you just feel like normal old Tom. And we, you know, I'm just trying to learn more and more that. But the key, I think, is the more I can die to myself, the more I can be aware of his presence in my life. You know? And that's the principle of Christianity. You know, when Christ told the people, he said, hey, if any man would follow me, let him take up his cross. Because the principle is that the more we lose our lives, the more we find it. The more we die, the more life we gain in him. We are bought with a price. We're not our own. And so I'm just learning that more and more. As the more Tom dies, the more I experience this God inside of me. And it's just a powerful principle that works in this relationship that we have now. So Jesus said there's a change coming because we're going to come. We're going to live with you. Paul's writing says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in us. And then it was an interesting thing. I never saw this parallel before, but look at what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter. You know, the Lord told them, he's resurrected. He spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of God, Scripture says. 40 days teaching them. And then he's getting ready to go, and he tells them to go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And then on Acts, the second chapter, we see what happens. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's interesting. Do you see a parallel? Think about the tabernacle. It was completed, and the glory of God fell in that tabernacle. Now, Christ is ascended. He said, I'm getting ready to birth the New Testament church. The New Testament temples are assembled in one place. And what happens? Again, the Spirit of God descends and christens the new church. And it's the same type of God saying, now, here's a new temple. The presence of God has come into that. I never saw that parallel before till I began to prepare this message. But God is always seeking to dwell among us, now in us. You can't get any more personal than that. But here's a significant thing that allows that to happen. When Jesus died on the cross, something happened. In Matthew 27, verses 50 through 51, it says, when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So what happened was that curtain was what separated God's presence from everyday people. Only the high priest was allowed to go in there, and then only once a year with blood. But now, as soon as Christ died, the first thing God did is wanted to show us that, hey, the separation is gone. He tore it from top to the bottom. God tore it. And that curtain, the way it was constructed, was impossible to tear by hand. But God was showing, hey, now, before we were separated because of your sins. That's why only the high priest could go in. We went in. If we went into his presence with sin, we would die. But now, because Christ, his blood applied to us, we're no longer sin in his presence. The righteousness of Christ is imputed through his blood. I know there's a lot of teaching and sayings about, hey, you got to work and earn your righteousness. You know what? The veil was torn because now we have access. He couldn't live within us otherwise, or we would just die. But the blood of Christ now makes us right in his standing, where we can enter into the scripture says, come boldly now to the throne of grace. Amen. That where we can enter into the presence of God without fear. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach then God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Jesus' blood has given us that direct access to the Father. So it's no longer us standing afar off outside the curtain praying and making sacrifices. Now Christ lives in us, and we can't get any more through the Holy Ghost. We can't get any more personal than that. So when you talk about prayer, it's not like, God, we're, you know, it's right here. We talk about thoughts. Sometimes it's driving down the road just meditating on the things of God. You know, it's as simple as God still wants in the cool of the day, let's just go for a walk and have a talk. Father, you know, you already know the concerns and desires and the things, and I'm praying. And when you enter his presence, I mean, you know, when you sit down in your secret place, wherever that is, and you just want to spend time with God, sometimes, you know, there's different types of prayer. Sometimes you go in, I've gone in to pray, and sometimes I just worship God. It's just what I feel like I need to do. Other times I go in to just, and I feel like I need to have some warfare. So it's just as simple as, hey, spending time with him, intimate personal time with the Lord, and you know what? God does want to speak to us, and he does. I remember, you know, I do a lot of job estimating at work, and I said, Lord, I need help, not to make little mistakes. It's little mistakes you can make, you know. And I can't tell you, since I prayed that prayer in the last year, how many times I'm working on a quote, and I have forgotten something, and the thought comes to my mind about the item that I forgot. It happens daily. And it's not, you know, I'm not praying at the time, but I've asked, and you know what? God speaks. It's this small, still voice. It's the thought sometimes, and it's not always an audible voice or a handwriting on the wall, how God speaks to us. But it's just the quiet, still voice that God uses to speak to us today. So, you know, prayer is personal. It's about relationship. You know, I think that as we walk through this Christian life, we see that the Lord has not changed. From the beginning of time, he wanted face-to-face relationship with man, and now he still wants that with us. And in prayer, it's simply just, hey, enjoying that relationship with God. It's about praying. It's about receiving. It's about listening. Sometimes it's a silent thought. God still hears the cry of your heart. Amen. And you can see throughout Scripture, it's his desire. He knows, he hears, and he cares. And he's always acting on our behalf. Sometimes it's an immediate thing. Sometimes it's a delayed answer. But you know what? God is faithful. It's like Pastor Paul was praying before, is that God will answer. He will come through. He's going to stretch your faith sometimes. Sometimes we grow and we learn through those hard things. But you know what? Somehow I always look, how did I get through that? But I did. You know, how did I make it past that? You know what? I did. And then you come through and you're just further down the road in God. Amen. He's faithful. He loves you. God desires to answer your prayer. He desires to speak to you. And it's up close and it's personal. Amen. Amen. Let's pray today and just ask the Lord to help us in this area. Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your word that shows us how much you desire to have a personal relationship, how much you love us. It's amazing. It is beyond a comprehension. And you have always been in pursuit of man. From the beginning, you've desired to live in close, intimate relationship. And now you live within us. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom, revelation. Help us just to walk intimately with you and daily just have a conversation, to pray, to listen, to think and meditate on the things of God. Allow you to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to bring us deliverance and healing. Everything we need is in you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you answer that prayer. I know it's your will for us. And as I'm praying, if anyone is here today and you don't know the Lord, I just give you an opportunity to accept the Lord. It's a simple prayer. If you just pray with me, if that's your desire. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need your blood to cleanse me of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and that you would be my Lord and my Savior. I thank you and I enter into relationship with you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand this morning as we enter in?
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.